So just why did Peter walk on the water? And more to the point, how did Peter walk on the water? Even still, just what did Peter learn from his experience, and what can you and me learn from it, if anything? Well, let's find out. Now, all four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record what happened right before Peter goes out and walks on the water, but only Matthew's account actually tells us about Peter walking on the water. And in the context of things, what happened with Peter walking on the water wasn't all that long after John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, had been beheaded by King Herod. And so when Jesus heard about that, he tried to get away from the crowds, you know, as most people do when things like that happen. But of course, they followed him, because after all, he's Jesus, he's the Messiah. And so Jesus being Jesus, he has compassion on the crowds, and he heals their sick, and he feeds them. Feeds the multitude, 5,000 people, right? We're told that there are 5,000 men, not counting women and children, who were there. And so if you do a little bit of math, that means there could have been easily around 15,000 people there following Jesus, at least. And all those people were incredibly impressed by all that Jesus had done and was doing. And so they wanted to make him their king. They wanted Jesus to be their great political hero. You see, they believed that the Messiah would come and do what Moses had done and bring them bread from heaven and free them from bondage. They believed that the Messiah would come and do what David had done, leading Israel to victory over the nations around them. But Jesus knew better, and he had better plans. Let's pick up our story now in Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 22. For the most of our time this morning, we're going to be right there in Matthew 14. So if you have a Bible or you have a phone and you want to navigate there, you could just stay there, Matthew chapter 14. So again, starting there in verse 22, the text says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Now, here we see Jesus spending some good quality time in prayer. Think about it, even though Jesus is the Son of God and by nature a part of the Godhead, he still prays to the Father regularly. Jesus loved to pray. Jesus needed to pray. Sadly, too many people think that they can live without prayer. But we need prayer too. In any case, the disciples did what Jesus told them to do. They got into a boat and they began to cross the lake. But then things took a turn for the worse. Picking up at the end of verse 23, we're told that when evening came, Jesus was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it, and it was during the fourth watch of the night. Now, according to the people who study weather patterns, that wouldn't be me. I'm a guy who relies on AccuWeather and things like that. So, the Sea of Galilee was notorious for how quickly storms would come and go. But the storm that the disciples found themselves in just wouldn't let up. It was a strong, terrible storm. And so from the way the Bible describes things, it looks like the storm hit around 8 p.m., that would be the evening, and continued all the way to the fourth watch of the night, which would be sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So think about it. The disciples have been struggling against the wind and the rain for at least 7 exhausting hours. Of course, these are experienced fishermen, but still that's a long time to be out there in the wind and the waves and all that cold and wetness. They were stuck in the middle of the lake, drenched, weary, chilled to the bone, wondering if they would ever make it to shore alive. And I know that, you know, we've all been there before, right? We've all had those storms in our life of varying intensity. But think about what's going on here in our text. You know, were the disciples in the will of God or out of the will of God? When the storm came upon them, were they in the will of God or out of the will of God? Well, you know, they were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. And did that storm, you know, take the disciples by surprise? Well, absolutely. You know, experienced fishermen or not, that storm just came upon them like that. Besides, they didn't have their phone with the handy-dandy AccuWeather, you know, weather map. So, but did the storm take Jesus by surprise? Of course not. Of course not. You see, you think that, well, why then did Jesus tell his disciples to get into the boat and cross the lake when he knew that a storm was coming? Could it be that there were maybe some lessons that they needed to learn that could only be learned in the midst of a storm? That all said, do you think that Jesus was aware of what the disciples were going through in that storm? Well, definitely. Definitely. But if that's the case again, then why didn't Jesus come to the rescue sooner? Well, if we truly trust in God, if we truly trust in Jesus, then Jesus came to their rescue at exactly the right time and not a moment before or a moment too late. At just the right time. And the same is true for you and me. Even though we can't always see in the midst of our storms, we can trust that God sees us and that God has a plan to empower us or to rescue us. Of course, it might not always be the way that we want it, or the way, or when we want it, or even, you know, how it's all executed. But the disciples, but like those disciples in the boat, God knows not only what is best, but when and how it's best. It's only up to us to step out in faith with Jesus. Turning our attention back to our text, and we're still again in Matthew chapter 14, let's see what happens when Jesus shows up. And this is verses 25 through 27. There Matthew writes, "During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" Okay, so let's try to put ourselves in that boat with the disciples. And let's sway a little bit, maybe. How's that? All right, going through what they were going through, you're tired, right? You're wet. You're wondering when it's all going to end. Then all of a sudden, you look off into the distance and you see what looks like a figure walking on the water in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the lake, in the middle of the night. What would you do, Scooby-Doo? You know? Do you think you might cry out in fear, "Zoinks, it's a ghost"? Well, they did, you know, but they were wrong. I mean, to be fair, they'd never seen Jesus do anything like that before. So what else would you think it was? Of course, Jesus corrects them and at the same time comforts them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And if it was me, right about then, I would have let out a sigh of relief, you know? Maybe a little "Praise the Lord," or "Jesus is here to rescue us," or "Hey, you know, we're going to live." You know, what a relief. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you know. The last thing I would have been thinking is what we're told Peter was thinking. Look at the text starting there in verse 28. He says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." That's not something I would be thinking. I'd be thinking, "Get me to shore now. I'm cold, I'm wet, I'm tired." "Come," verse 29 says, Jesus said, "come." Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Think about that. When Peter realized that it was Jesus in his nimble mind, he immediately saw an incredible opportunity. Again, something that I wouldn't have thought of. There was no doubt in Peter's mind who it was that was walking on the water, and he wanted Jesus to give him permission to come out to him on the water. Now, this often gets missed when people look at this text. But do you see any of the other disciples raising their hands saying, "Yeah, Jesus, if it's you, we'll come out there with Peter and meet you on the water"? No, none of them volunteered to join him. So what does Jesus do? Well, Jesus tells Peter, "Come." And so, stepping out in faith, Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on the water. And in that moment, Jesus suspended all of the laws of physics that tells us that it's impossible for someone to walk on water. And when Jesus did that for a moment or two, there were two people, Jesus and Peter, who were walking on water. Now, over the years, there have been people who have criticized Peter, saying that he was impulsive or headstrong and foolish for even wanting to go walk out on the water. But it's important for us to see here that there's nothing in the text that even remotely suggests that Peter was wrong for wanting to walk on the water. Peter was not being impulsive. He was not being impetuous. He was not being presumptuous. As a matter of fact, Peter actually asked for permission from Jesus and then waited for it to be granted. And so if Jesus has said, "No, you stay right there in that boat, Peter," then I'm pretty sure that Peter would have stayed right there in that boat. But Jesus didn't say no. He said, "Come, come on, get out of the boat." And so the smartest thing that Peter could do at that point was to go ahead and get out of the boat. Because once Jesus commanded Peter to come, then he'd better obey. And so he did. How could anyone criticize him for that? Of course, the story doesn't end there. We all know what happens next. And it involves stepping out without Jesus. Take a look there at verse 30. "But when he saw the wind," when Peter saw the wind, "he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me!'" You just have to picture it. Peter was fully walking on water. Peter was walking away from the boat. Peter was walking toward Jesus. Everything was going great. Then came the but. "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid." Think about it. Everything was going just fine until Peter took his focus off of Jesus. And instead of being focused on Jesus, he started to focus on the storm around him. That's something that we never really usually think about in all this. The storm didn't settle down until after they all got into the boat. That storm was still going on. That storm never stopped raging when Peter walked out onto the water. Talk about courage. The wind was still blowing and the waves were still tossing the boat about and the rain was still coming down in sheets. But it only took a second for Peter to lose his focus and start to sink. But he was walking on water. You think about it, though, we're kind of like Peter in some ways, right? We get going pretty good. We're following the Lord, but then we get distracted. It's pretty easy for folks to get distracted by all the storms and the challenges of life. It's life. Life happens, And unfortunately, if we do get distracted, then our faith can waver. But when through faith we concentrate on Jesus and focus on him, then we can have peace within ourselves. We can have a power that only God can supply. Even when the storms of life continue to rage all around us, we can have that peace that only God can give. And that's important for us to remember, because even when we keep our focus on Jesus, that doesn't mean that the wind and the waves are going to stop. They're going to keep crashing about, but with Jesus as our focus, we could stay afloat. Not only afloat, but we could be up on top. Again, back in verse 30, we're told that Peter began to sink, and so he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Now, Peter, again, now he's a fisherman, and he was a pretty good swimmer. And I don't even to guess at that, because I know over in John chapter 21 and verse 7, Peter jumps out of their fishing boat and he swims to shore to Jesus. So Peter is clearly a good swimmer. He's a fisherman. He knows his way around water. He knows what he's doing. But here, Peter doesn't even try to swim. He doesn't rely upon his own strength, power, ability. Instead, he relies upon the Lord. He asks Jesus for help because he knows he needs it. This is an intense storm. He's tired. He needs the Lord to save him. And so as soon as Peter asked, we're told that immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why do you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, Jesus' rebuke here is not because Peter wanted to get out of the boat. And it's not because Peter walked on the water, because in all this, sometimes we forget that Peter actually walked on the water. It's because Peter doubted once he started to walk. You know, Peter had enough faith to walk on the water, but Peter lost his focus. Peter had the faith to get out of the boat in the first place, but he didn't have the faith to keep on walking. But in spite of Peter's doubt, Jesus was willing to help him. And so, while standing on the water, and, you know, I don't know how this works. You know, Jesus has suspended physics, but he's standing on the water. He takes a hold of Peter and pulls him back up on top of the water. And they walked on over together, and they got into the boat together. And at the moment they were back in the boat, the winds and the rain subsided, and those in the boat worshiped Jesus. Now think about all that again from the perspective of those who had been in the boat watching the whole thing. We can only imagine them kind of watching it, you know, maybe with their eyes all wide open, their jaws dropped, like, what is Peter doing, you know? And partly because of what all happened and how Peter walked on water, the Lord's walking on water, the rescue and all that, you know, along with the Lord's control over the elements. Remember, as soon as he got into the boat, it all went quiet, right? That's when the disciples knew for sure. Remember, these are fishermen having to deal with these waves and winds. It wasn't stopping for anything until Jesus got with them. That they truly knew he was the Son of God. They worshiped him. That's something there too, because when you think about it, until Jesus is really a part of your life, you're not going to have that peace that's inside you. Sure, in real life, you know, around us, the world can still be throwing, you know, wind and rains at us and whatever sort of things that come at us. But with Jesus with you, you've got a peace inside you that only can come from Christ. Now, as we wrap things up this morning, I think it's important for us to try to learn from Peter's example on how to step out in faith successfully. And the first thing is that in order to walk on water, you must get out of the boat. Think about it. You'll never walk on water as long as you stay in the boat. You can't be in the boat and out of the boat at the same time. A choice must be made to act. You have to make a decision. And so to walk with God is to walk by faith. It's a choice you make. And to walk by faith requires certain risks, certain decisions in everyday life, and stepping out into the unknown often. The Apostle Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:7. He says, "We live by faith, not by sight." Our other translations will say, "We walk by faith, not by sight." Looking back at all the faithful men and women in the Bible, you know, we could see that faith required them to be risk takers who weren't afraid to lay it all on the line for God. Hebrews chapter 11, from where our scripture reading came from this morning, has some great examples, right? One right after another. By faith, Abraham stepped out in faith on the journey to Canaan. And again, later in his life, when he lifted a knife to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. And by faith, Moses stood before Pharaoh, and Esther stood unannounced before the king, and David accepted the challenge from the giant Goliath, and Daniel refused to defile himself with the king's food, and on it goes. And none of those men and women would have been able to be used by God if they had not made the choice to step out in faith, to trust in God. Think about it again. As long as we stay in the boat, in our own little shell, sure, we'll never sink, but we'll also never walk on water. We'll never get to do anything really great for God, you know? And that's why it's important for us to reflect upon our own walk with God, our own life with God, and in the areas of our life that maybe we've lacked the faith to be able to do and to just go ahead and make the choice to step out of the boat and give it a try, you know? Another thing that we can learn from Peter today is that in order to be able to continue to walk on the water, you must stay connected to the Lord. Again, think about Peter. He made the choice to step out of the boat in faith, and he walked on the water. But once he shifted his focus from Jesus to the storm around him, once he lost that connection with Jesus, he started to sink. And so we must allow our faith to keep us connected to the Lord. And that's because the second we take our eyes off of Jesus and we begin to focus on the world around us or on our own thinking or our own strength, we will sink. Okay. Just like Peter did. So how do you keep connected to the Lord? Well, there's no magic formula. There's no magic pill. But there is a simple, tried and true way of a day-by-day walk with God. And it comes through reading His Word, through prayer, through fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, and in worship, you know. Just think about all the Christians who have failed because they stopped trusting in the Lord. You know, we wouldn't have nearly as many failures spiritually if people just stayed connected to the Word of God, you know, through study and through prayer, through fellowship and through worship. And so the challenge for you and me is to be stepping out in faith, you know, to be like Peter and to make the choice to step out of the boat, obeying the command of Jesus to walk by faith instead of playing it safe like the disciples who stayed in the boat. Not saying that they didn't do great things, because we know they did. You know, but unlike Peter, you know, we don't have to sink. You don't have to sink if we just keep walking by faith, keeping our eyes fixed on the Lord. Of course, you know, if you do stumble and fall, it's all about repenting and seeking forgiveness and getting back on the path, you know. But the only way that we can be successful in stepping out in faith, of course, is to first come to Jesus in faith. You have to first come to Him in faith before you can actually be successful and walking in your faith. You don't walk in faith, then come to Jesus. You come to Jesus, and then you walk in faith, okay? And you come to Jesus by believing, of course, that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon your trust in Him, your belief in Him, you turn to Him in repentance. You see, it's knowing who Jesus is that you could say, God, you know, I have been wrong. I need to change my life. And then when you do that, you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that's so important because that means He's Lord of your life. That means you're going to obey what He says and do it. And so you commit yourself to Him. You make that commitment to Him at the point when you are immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. You need to do that because if you don't, it's just like dating someone. You're not married until you're married. You can say that Jesus is Lord, but until you've immersed yourself in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins, like Jesus and the apostles commanded, you've not sealed the deal, okay? And then you come up out of the water and you continue to live your life for Him until Jesus comes back again or you go to be with Him. Of course, for those of us who are already Christians, the encouragement for you and me today is to step out of the boat. you know, to take a few more risks of faith, risks of sharing our faith, risks of serving where maybe we've never served before. Give it a try, like Janet, hammering on those keys back there for the first time, you know. May we always stay focused on the Lord Jesus when we do that, so we don't sink. You know? Again, if anyone has the need to come forward this morning to share, to seek prayer, or maybe to become a Christian for the first time, you're always encouraged to come forward now as together we all stand and sing the song that was selected.